5
4
3 2
1 Welcome to Tech Talk. Yes, the show where you're welcome whether you love technology or you're just maybe doing a bit of browsing first to see if it's for you. With me as always are my guests. We've got Sean Preece here. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Stephen Scott.
And Julie Roddaway back with us again for another week. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
And coming up this week, we've got lots to talk about. Julie, what have you been looking at this week?
Well, I managed to get hold of a pair of Bluetooth headphones which allow you to record binaurally, and if you don't know what that is, we'll explain later.
And if you had trouble voting in the recent UK elections, you may be interested to hear why election officials are looking to Estonia for answers to the challenge of voting accessibly and independently.
And we've got loads more of your lovely emails to read through. Sean and Julie and I are emptying our big mailbag out and sifting through what you've sent this week, including a lovely little package we got from Tony Costa-Sneddon, who is telling us about his new favourite app called Tap Tap C. That's coming up on this week's Tech Talk. So yeah, welcome along to the show, guys, and I have to tell you, we're starting off with breaking news.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. That was the exact response I was hoping for. Yes, breaking news. What is this breaking news I hear you yell or not in your case? Well, this is actually quite big. We've been talking about this for I don't know how long, and that is Amazon Video. So Amazon Prime Video and the content you can stream online from Amazon. For a long time, there was no audio description on it, and it's something we've talked about and talked about and talked about. They've clearly been listening to us, guys, because this week they've announced support for audio description.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. Brilliant. You know, this
Isn't
has
it?
Been long overdue. They've had to do something, really, because they've had to compete with Netflix and things like that. So I think it's brilliant. Long overdue.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this because it is good news. And what we're hearing from various people is that there is audio description starting to pop up on programs, which is fantastic. It's in the same menu that you would get through Netflix. You would get your subtitle language. Well, if you can find your way to finding that on the various apps or devices that you can get Amazon Prime and Video on, then do try it out. Do see if it's there. They're saying that it's already going to be available on over 125 movie and TV shows initially. That's massive. The website apparently now lists 117 movies and 10 Amazon-produced TV shows, all with AD tracks. Movies, for example, including Alice Through the Looking Glass, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. I've been wanting to watch that for I don't know how long, and there's been no AD that I could find a version of it with, so fantastic. Fences, no idea what that is. Gravity, sounds good.
Oh, and that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, that is a brilliant movie, and you know, that needs audio description.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Really
right.
Needs it. Also, multiple offerings of Harry Potter, Jack Reacher, Mission Impossible, and Hide Behind the Couch Time, Paranormal Activity.
Oh, fantastic.
Isn't that amazing? In addition to that, Amazon are offering 10 shows, some with multiple seasons, including, and this is what we know so far, Bosch, which I've been looking forward to watching, and again, couldn't because there was no AD on it, Creative Galaxy, Just Add Magic, and Man in the High Castle. Man in the High Castle, of course, big, big show, talked about and advertised all over the place. Well, if you're blind, you can now get it with AD. I am so excited about this, guys.
It's like Christmas, definitely. Isn't it? It really is.
Well, it is. I mean, we're sort of joking about it, but it is a real, you know, it's a real improvement. And it, like you said, it opens up. It was just Netflix before. Of course, you could argue iTunes as well, but the choice there wasn't great. And it's a different type of service.
Yeah.
There's so many people that's got Amazon Prime, and that's where you get the video service as part of the Amazon Prime membership. You know, I got rid of my Amazon Fire TV stick purely because the Amazon Video wasn't AD'd, and I thought, I'm not actually going to use it for anything else, so I don't need it. And now I'm going to be looking to get one back.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not having a laugh about it. I mean, this is deadly serious. We're having a bit of fun here talking about it. But you're right. This is big, big stuff. You know, this is, as I've said before, the difference between watching a TV show and not watching a TV show, which, you know, in a world that we live in now where people love watching and binge watching TV shows, you know, you can instantly fall out of the social world very quickly. You know, someone says to you, oh, did you watch the latest episode of blah? Or have you been watching this series? And you think, oh, well, yeah. And you know that thing, I don't know if you guys feel this, but ever when you say to a sighted friend, you say, you know, oh, I didn't watch it because it doesn't have audio description. You just feel like everyone's fallen asleep.
Yeah.
They're going on about whatever. Something and you feel so excluded because you don't know what they're talking about. You haven't got a clue. So,
no, exactly.
You know, this enables us to talk at an equal level like everybody else. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, so listen, try it out. Tell us what you think. If you've got an Amazon device or you've got the Amazon app or you've got that subscription to Prime, then AD is available on some of the content, and hopefully that will roll out to more content over time. Do tell us what you think about it. You can email us and tell us at techtalk@rnib.org.uk and tell us what you're watching. That's the key thing.
Actually, it's a lot like Netflix. When Netflix started with audio description, they just put it on the Netflix originals to start off with, and Amazon are doing exactly the same. So any Amazon original, like The Man in the High Castle, they should have audio description. Plus, it's not on by default. That's another thing. So like Stephen said, you do need to go in, find that audio and subtitle menu button, and make sure you turn it on.
You know, last week we couldn't get to a lot of your emails because we were talking, of course, about WWDC. Thank you for bearing with us on that one. We did have to talk about it because it was a big event. We did get a lot of emails through saying, glad that's over with. we can move on to talk about something else now. It's a bit, you know, Apple's events are a bit like the recent election in the UK. You know, that's all you hear about. On the relevant programs for a while.
That's true.
And then all of a sudden we're talking about, you know, we're back to talk about normal life again. So yeah, let's go through some of the emails. Connor is in Northern Ireland. Hi, Connor. He says, I'm emailing you here from Derry in Northern Ireland. He says, as a fellow blindie using VoiceOver on my iPhone and JAWS on my PC, I find your show a great source of information. I'm thinking about purchasing an Amazon Fire HD stick, but before doing so, would love to know how third-party apps like Netflix and YouTube work with VoiceView. Any help on this would be much appreciated. Keep up the great work, says Connor. Well, that's a good one to start things off with. So I've got the Amazon Fire Stick with She Who Shan't Be Named. And I'm not going to name her this week because, do you know what? I was listening to an interview on... There is this... I just want to point this out. There are other podcasts out there. I know it's crazy and it sounds insane, but there are...
They do exist.
No, I don't believe that. And I still think it's a bit of a myth. Even the one I heard sounded like it was made up. But the point is that they were talking about her and... the A-lady, and they kept saying the name, but of course I was listening to it on that device, which meant that every time someone said the name, she would just sort of start listening, and it was... She was listening to the podcast, not me. It was really annoying.
It's a first world problem.
Yeah, it is.
But it is, it's an issue.
But it's great being on the Fire Stick, and actually what I love about it being on there is the fact that it's remote controlled, so you actually press the button in to do it. Have either of you got a Fire Stick yet, the new one?
No, not yet.
No, I did have the older one when VoiceView was in beta, it was okay, but it didn't work with those third-party apps, so I wasn't a fan. I gave it to a family member. From the new one that you've got, it does sound like it's, you know, matured.
Okay, so the question here from Connor is apps like Netflix and YouTube. Now, Netflix... is accessible on the Amazon Fire Stick with her. I wish I could say the name Amazon. We'll call it Amazon, right? So the Amazon Fire Stick with Amazon's Echo voice thing. Oh, so annoying! Can't call it by name. It does work with Netflix, and that is interesting because, you know, you're right, Sean. At the beginning, that wasn't the case, and we've seen a lot of devices coming out. And in particular, televisions that have put text-to-speech software from Panasonic and Samsung, who've put the effort to put text-to-speech into their systems. So you've got a fully PG, and you've got all the menu systems that work, and you can access everything around it, but you go to an app like Netflix, and it doesn't work. You just get nothing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
That's not the case with this. However, it's not perfect. And this is an important thing. And YouTube is a good example of where it falls down a little bit. You can get YouTube on it, and it's accessible-ish, but that's the problem. The ish part is the problem, because you can get into some bits, like you can get into the search menu, but you can't get beyond that, and you can't work your way around the screen to find out what you're looking at. Whereas Netflix, you can, because Netflix is kind of built into the structure of it. They're working together, basically. So there was a bit of an effort there to obviously make it accessible as well. So it is good, and it works really well, and it is definitely something which I just love for that reason. Because, first of all, the price point, I know we always talk about money, because we're so cheap, we sound so cheap, don't we? We spend thousands of pounds on kit every year, us guys, but, you know, we always sound so cheap.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah,
yeah, I wish. Yeah.
Sean goes to car boot sales and buys laptops for £1. I'm going to keep mentioning this laptop.
You are. You won't let me forget that. It was a bargain.
I'm just so impressed it's still going. That's what's getting me. But, you know, it is a great little stick. And, you know, £40, £39.99, something like that. That is incredible that it's got the accessibility built in. It is so easy to use. Yeah, you know, try it out. Do you know, it's kind of just worth it if you've got £40. If you don't have £40, then obviously don't buy it. Buy food, buy toilet rolls, of course. But if you have got a spare £40 lying about, try it out. It is a great piece of kit. I don't think you would feel it was a waste of your time, Connor, in my view.
Well, it does depend on your use for it. I mean, you know, the price is fantastic. It's 3 times cheaper than, let's say, the Apple TV.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're buying it specifically for third-party apps like YouTube, BBC iPlayer, Netflix, then you do need to try it out first.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing, though. Where do you try these things out? I mean, you know, unless you've got a friend who's got one, I don't know if there's many stores that actually show you, you know, out actually working. And even if it was the case that it was available, no one would know how to set up the voice view software on it. If you go into a big super store that sells electricals and you say, hey guys, I'd really love to try this out, you know, can we stick on voice view?
Well, no, personally, it's one of these where you buy it online, get it in your house, you know, install the apps that you want and test it out that way. If you buy it online, you've got 14 days at least to send it back, you know, even without a reason to say, I don't want it.
You see, do you know my problem
get
with that?
Get your money back.
I get that, right? And I agree with you. But my problem is, and this is just me, by the way, I just can't be bothered sending anything back.
I knew you were going to say that because I'm exactly
hassle,
the same.
And then you've got to get a return thing. Oh, it is a hassle, isn't it?
And you've got to print this thing out, and then you don't even know if it's the right thing. I once sent something back and the return slip was around the wrong way. So effectively, I sent back a package that was unmarked. And it was only the delivery driver that said it. He said, that's something wrong with that. So yeah, for me, it's you know, if you can be bothered with it, then do it. But I think it's a great little piece of kit, and I hope that they continue to develop VoiceView. I have to say, the design so far and what we've seen so far is very promising.
It's another option out there, but I got to say, the Apple TV third-party accessibility support is a lot better than that. And I'm going to sound like an Apple fan. But then again, you know, 3 times more expensive, so you have got to weigh that up.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sound like an Apple fan because, you know, it's 100 and what, 40 quid, 130 quid as opposed to 40.
Something.
You know, and actually, I think, I mean, it depends, I suppose. I mean, okay, first of all, let's be honest. If you've got the Amazon Fire Stick, you're probably better off if you've got the Amazon Prime subscription, because that will open up a lot more for you. Okay, let's go to an email from Sue Mead in Swindon, who says, Dear all, I have just finished listening to your latest podcast and was very interested in Julie's demo of the Braille Pen Touch. However, it looks as if the Braille Pen Touch is no longer available, as I can only find the Braille Pen Touch 12 on the Sight and Sound website in the UK. This product also costs over £800 there, so it's very expensive. I can't find a price for the Braille Pen Touch anywhere. Keep up the good work, she says. Especially Sean. I love his cheeky, chappy attitude.
Thank you so much. Yes. See, I want that email, Stephen.
Okay, I'll forward it to you. Right, okay. I did forward this to Julie, and you've responded, haven't you, to Sue? You went back to Sue, actually, in this one directly.
I did. I basically checked, and the Braille Pen Touch is no longer available, but the Braille Pen Touch 12 is. And it, do you know what? The weird thing, it's exactly the same as a Braille Pen Touch. It does everything. It just changed the name, in my view. But £850, you know, yeah. It's expense again. You know, these Braille devices aren't cheap, so... You know, let's wait for the Orbit Reader when it comes. When it comes,
When will it come?
God,
hang on. Your audio last week on that the week before, sorry, was fantastic. But I wanted to know: do those devices work on a computer as well?
Yes, they do.
So you could use them on your PC or Mac.
Yes, providing you had like the right drivers installed for JAWS and things. Yes, it does work.
Right,
okay. On those, yeah.
Okay, it does. I mean, when you talked about it last week, or the week before, actually, I have to say I was very intrigued by this. I really liked the sound of it. And the way you talked about it, in my head, I thought, £50. That's what I was in my
me
mind.
Too, yeah. Me too.
I was like, this sounds great. It's going to be the most amazing thing because it didn't, you know, this is the one, if I'm right in saying, there was one you talked about that didn't have any sort of display on it. It just had a keyboard. It was just like buying a keyboard. And I thought, £50, okay, it's a blind product, so it'll be £100.
No, £300 for the Braille Pen Slim. That's just the Bluetooth keyboard.
That's just a keyboard. That doesn't have a display.
Braille keyboard. No, £300 for that.
That's insane.
It
goes back to my point. You know, I go into a supermarket and I see a keyboard and mouse desk set for £300. And I'm thinking, someone's made an error somewhere. do you know what I mean? It's just, it's nonsense. And at least you get a mouse with it.
That's
just nonsense. Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah, but isn't... And that's the one we can't get hold of now. That's the one that's not available.
No, it's still available, but the Braille Pen Touch is the one we can't get hold of now.
So it's now the 12.
Now it's the Braille Pen Touch 12. It's exactly the same as the Braille Pen Touch, but they've just added the 12 to the name. Does exactly what? The
no,
same
no, yeah,
thing.
But it's got a Braille display on it,
it has, yeah. 12 cells, yeah, so
that's the extra money.
Yeah.
That's where the extra... It just seems funny that they would get rid of the cheaper option and keep the more expensive option.
I know, it's ridiculous, you know.
But no, hang on. I think that's not what Julie's saying. I think the other one is available. The one, the little keyboard... that doesn't have the display is still available, Julie, is that right?
It is. It's still available. I checked the other day with Sight and Sound and it definitely still is available.
And then
right, so they are selling both?
Yeah, they are, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's really simple, Sean. They've got the Braille Pen Touch. What is it called? Braille Pen Touch.
Braille Pen Touch 12.
Right, it used to be called the Braille Pen Touch. They've stuck the number 12 on it and they've... Yeah. That's it.
No, hang on. Hang on. This could be going on for hours. Hang on. The 12 refers to the 12-cell display, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, yeah.
So the Braille Touch 12 is the one with the display. The Braille Touch is the one without the display.
No, the Braille Touch Slim
is the one without the display.
Braille Pen Slim. Yeah, listen to Julie.
We are the experts.
Right, okay.
Right, so look, at the end of the day, they're selling both. They are still both available. One's got a Braille display. One hasn't.
Without.
One's £300, one's £800.
Yeah, basically, that's right. It. Yeah.
Thank you. There we go.
Well, I'm glad we didn't clear that up. Sue, I hope that helps.
I'm so sorry, Sue.
I think Julie's email back to you was probably a better response than this. But yeah, hopefully that does answer some questions. And, you know, it goes back to that fundamental point about the cost of Braille. It is just so expensive and prohibitive for so many people. Thanks for your email, Sue. Really appreciate it. We hope you got some answers for those of you who might have also been interested in that, as I was. Chris Nickel has been in touch as well. He says, hi team, I am an Android user.
Hey!
I knew they would listen. And was pleased to hear that more Android features are coming up. Hang on, what? At last, no Apple. No, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, Chris.
I never said no Apple.
I didn't say no Apple last week. I said we're going to cut back. I'm going to cut back on my Apple intake. That's what I said. Chris says, I've got no vision, so more help would be great from Android. Chris, thanks for your email. That's a really good point, actually. You know, there's people out there like Chris who want to learn more about it and doesn't want to hear us go on and on about... Apple all the time, and you know that's what
you
I said.
Can't even
last
say
week.
The name, can you?
I know I've done.
Yeah, you see, the difficulty is though. I mean, there's so many Android devices, and they all perform. You know, they all have to do things differently on each. There's no like one. This is how you do it on all devices. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got to say, you know, I'm glad we're going to be talking more about it. It is something we do need to get into. And I know I'm the one that's going to have to lead on this because neither of you have got Android devices. So
we're waiting.
I'm not buying you
I'm
one.
I'm not. Yes, well, you buy me one. Buy me one instead.
No, I think, Julie, you have to remain the Apple fan because, you know, it's all about balance. It's all about balance.
Okay.
I'll go Android crazy. And Sean can do nothing, as he always does. Right.
I like that.
Yeah. That suits. Right.
No, Chris is absolutely right. We are looking into getting into Android a bit more because we're missing out a big segment there.
Well, you know, we're just at a point where there is, you know, there are so many people using Android. It is just ridiculous if we don't talk about it. We do. And you know what? Actually, I'm going to put this out to you as well, dear community. People love that word. But, you know, it's actually up to you as well to come to us and say, look, this is what I've found works really well on Android. You know, let's not talk about Android versus anything anymore. Let's just get into talking about Android apps. And, you know, so if you've got a favourite app, for example, that you use on Android that works really well, it doesn't matter whether it works really well on the Apple as well, because if you've only got Android, then that's all you care about. So if there's something you're using and you think, that's brilliant, I need to tell someone about that, then tell Tech Talk and we'll tell everybody else. So
absolutely.
Get in touch. Email us techtalk@rnib.org.uk. See what I did there, guys, basically. I just passed it off. You see what I did there?
Oh, you're so good. Well
done. That was amazing.
It's professionalism at its core. Oh,
do you know, it really is. It's there's another word for it, but I can't say it on air. Right. Nadia's been in touch. Hi, Nadia. She says, hi, guys. You've talked a lot about NVDA recently, and it sounds really interesting. I'm dreading the day that I have to replace my laptop, as it will mean replacing JAWS as well. The free screen reader sounds wonderful, but I have many questions, and I was wondering if it might be possible for you to do an NVDA show so you can go more in depth into the software, perhaps even do a comparison with JAWS. I'm really interested to know, for example, how NVDA works with other software. I use Overdrive for Windows, iTunes. I use Dragon Naturally Speaking software every day. All of those work with JAWS. If I was going to make NVDA my screen reader, I would want it to support all of them fully as well. I'm also really interested to know how well NVDA works with the internet. I use Gmail as my current provider, since it's the only one that is even remotely JAWS-friendly. Even then, I have to set it into HTML for JAWS to work properly. How well does NVDA work with Facebook and Twitter? Can it find combo boxes and form fields? JAWS is really good at that, as it beeps to let you know if you're inside combo boxes or text fields. I've got no sight at all. So can NVDA be used by someone with no vision at all? All the best, Nadia. Guys?
Yes, absolutely. I totally understand being anxious as well about, you know, moving from a screen reader that you know so well and trying something new. But I would say, why wait until you actually make that swap to a new laptop? Just put NVDA on now and try it out alongside while you've got your JAWS, your main driver there. Check out NVDA as well. You'll find that a lot of the keyboard commands, you know, are very similar to JAWS. Support for things like Facebook, Twitter, are pretty much on a par. Navigating through websites, like you said, jumping to edit fields, form fields, very similar, works the same way. Just press E to quick nav jump to any form fields. And then you'll hear the special noise to let you know you're in that text field and you can start typing. Same with checkboxes. All those usual navigations that you use in JAWS are there with NVDA. I'm a fan of NVDA anyway. But also don't forget that when you do switch over to a new laptop, you can still use a free trial of JAWS, the 40-minute version. So if you do struggle, you know, then you can fall back to that while you're learning a new one.
Ah, that's a really good point, actually. Yeah, I forgot about that. You've got the 40-minute trial. But the only issue Nadia may have is, or would she have the issue of being able to install it herself? She might need someone to help with that.
It depends how, you know, confident you are with something like that. But once you get over that, you should be okay. Especially, I mean, you've also got Windows Narrator now. So, you know, that you can get on the website and download the setup files for both NVDA and JAWS. So, maybe you need a bit of a guide to help you with that. But that shouldn't be an issue.
I can sympathise with Nadia, because when I had the same issue, I had to change my laptop recently and I felt exactly the same, but I've been using NVDA alongside yours and it does work really well, Nadia, so try it.
Well, that's the best thing. Just try it and see how you go. But yeah, that's the point. So, I mean, what Nadia's saying there is she's dreading the day she has to replace her laptop. So now is the time to try it, Nadia. You know, get it now. Download it now because you've got your system set up. It'll allow you to turn JAWS off and just basically go rogue on it and try it. And if it works for you,
go rogue.
You know, just try it out and, you know, see how it feels. And if it works for you, then great. Because, I found NVDA at first. When I first heard the voice, I thought, ugh, horrible. And that just instantly put me off. But then I'm really shallow. So it was just, that was it.
Had the same thing with me, Stephen.
Yeah.
But you got over that.
I got over it. But yeah, it's such screen readers are very personal things, I find, you know, and once you get the settings working for you and you get the first sort of few hurdles over with, it just feels like it's your own. And I think it's a bit like anything else, you know. I'll give you an analogy. You know I love analogies. A friend of mine bought a new car. Yeah, I love these. A friend of mine bought a new car recently, a second-hand car. He can see. I just want to point that out for, you know, if the DVLA are listening. He can see fine. He's one of them. And he bought his new car and he was showing me. He says, oh, it's lovely, isn't it? It's great. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you've got a car. And we were talking about how he was saying how bad his air conditioning was. So he got it all fixed anyway. Long story short, he got it all fixed and he said, I now feel the car is mine because I've done some customization to it and it feels like mine. And I think screen readers for us are a bit like that as well. Even though they come with set commands, you can do so much customization of the voice and the speaking rate and all those elements to it that just make it feel like it's yours. And then once you've got it all set up, it's amazing. And if you can get it done that way, and I think that's the thing with JAWS, I certainly found that with JAWS, you get so comfortable with it. And then you want to move to something, or you have to move to something else, and you think, ooh, this is going to be horrific. But NVDA, I don't think so much. What I would suggest you do, Nadia, is listen to the NVDA tutorial, if you like, the how-to guide that Sean did. It's on our podcast. Do check that out on Audioboom. I know you've got to do a search for NVDA on that, because, you know, that is well worth a listen, even if it is Sean's voice.
Thank you.
Right, okay, let's move on then to some news, because there is so much to talk about this week. Again, I mean, it's incredible. One of the things that's come up over the last week or two has been accessible voting. Now, you both voted for the first time, I believe, in the general election this year.
Well, this year, yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Well, you know, we do have general elections every 5 minutes nowadays. So, you know, this one this year. And, you know, there might be another one in a couple of months. You never know.
No, I haven't voted in years. So this was the first time in a long time that I actually voted. And to be honest, I went because someone was able to go with me as well. I know there's postal voting and everything. But, this was the first time I've voted in a long time.
How was it?
I did the postal vote, but again, I needed help. You know, it's still not accessible.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that was certainly the mood of many people on Twitter that I was following, saying, you know, that it's supposed to be accessible, but it's just not in some places. You know, a lot of, you know, for example, the tactile device that goes over the top of the election page, just they had no idea how it worked, and it ended up that a lot of people, friends of mine, were saying they still had to tell the election official who they were voting for, and then they would do it. That's ridiculous in 2017, frankly, isn't it?
I had an interesting thing the other day that a lady went to a polling station to vote. She was totally blind. Her husband was totally blind. And they didn't even have the tactile thing. They didn't even know what it was.
That's it. And yeah, I had the same last year when I was voting in whatever it was. Can't remember what it was. Some election or some form, either local election or the referendum. They had no idea. And I tried to explain it, and they had no idea. And it's actually really disheartening. And I know a lot of people are now doing postal voting because they don't want to get to the polling station and find out that they've had a wasted vote or they can't vote, so therefore it is a wasted vote.
Yeah,
that's quite depressing, actually. And you know, it's just it's something that needs to be sorted out for no shadow of a doubt. But we've got a bit of a report on this one this week, because if you also struggle to vote independently in the recent UK general election, then you might be keen to know why the world is looking at Estonia for answers. Alex Symington has this special report.
Nearly everything we do has gone digital. Letters have turned into emails, newspapers have turned into websites, and we have had the digital switchover in TV only a few years ago. So a common question is, why hasn't the way we vote turned digital? The traditional way of flocking to your local polling station and placing that cross in the chosen box seems quite outdated now in this digital era. About 14 countries have used some form of online voting in recent years, but Estonia was the first to introduce permanent national internet voting. The small Baltic state began using online voting in 2005, and iVoting has served in 8 elections. In the 2005 local elections, only 1.9% of votes cast their ballot online, rising to more than 30,000 in the most recent parliamentary election. There are many positive arguments for a switch to digital voting, like connecting with a younger audience, reaching out to people that might not normally vote. People who are immobile and people who live abroad can vote much more simply by doing it online. But a lot do question the security and the reasoning behind it. A crucial part of Estonia's system is that online voting is linked to the country's state-of-the-art electronic identity cards, carried by every citizen and resident. Digital ID cards allow for the secure authentication of the owner online and enables a digital signature to be linked to the account. Newer cards include an electronic copy of the owner's fingerprints. Some worry this could trivialise the process, saying voting is an important activity, and some people have died for it and continue to die for. It should be more important than pressing a button on a smartphone. Experts have said that the main security threat to online voting would be from malware on a personal computer, which could potentially change votes cast via the internet. Government has plans to make voting electronic by 2020, but by the time of the last general election, little progress has been made. Furthermore, the way the elections are carried out is written in law, so any changes would have to be brought before Parliament.
There you go. We could be seeing digital voting coming soon, and it certainly seems to be something that other countries are way ahead on, like Estonia, for example. Do we think that's a good thing or a bad thing for us?
I think it's great. I think it's
fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of people that would vote would rise, you know, a huge amount. The amount of people that actually vote now is so low, and I'm as guilty as that as anyone, but I think it would make a huge difference.
And I think they should offer telephone voting as well. You know, like when you go to a phone bank, you press one for this, one for Conservative, two for Labour, three for whatever. I think it'd be brilliant.
Oh, that's a terrible idea. Do you know why it's a terrible idea? Because I always hit the wrong button. So I'd be like, oh, I've voted for the Monster Raving Loony Party again. every time. You know, I would love to see online voting. You know, why don't we just do it through Facebook? You know, that'd be great. You just hit like.
It does come down to security. It seems like it should be so
what, more secure than a piece of paper and a pencil?
Well, I mean, that argument about, you know, it's more important than just pressing a button, that makes no sense to me, because you're just, you know, people just go in and vote anyway, you know. It you can't enforce how people research what they're voting for, but you know, it's all about making it as easy as possible for people to vote. But the security is important. You know, that malware aspect of it is really important. If the recent attacks that we've had that affected the whole world, you know, if something affected a country in a vote like that, it could skew the whole thing. So they have, but I think it is definitely doable. It's definitely possible. They just need to work on it.
Yeah.
Well, I know in America they have it, don't they? And it's accessible over there. So we're behind as usual.
I know. I mean, that's right. They've got these new machines, and actually I think, I mean, although it was pretty much going to come in anyway. They were going to work towards it. You know, I think a lot of it didn't was required, I should say, after the shambles of the George Bush and Al Gore election. And you know, that just required that there was, you know, something had to come in and replace that. So that's kind of why that happened. We need to get digital on it. It's as simple as that. You know, we just got to find another way of doing it. But it has to be accessible. You know, we don't want to get to a point of, great, that's all wonderful. So we've got this new computer and you can't use it now. So now we can't...
Button.
Exactly.
That's all it says to you.
You know, we've got cash machines that can talk. You know, it's a kind of similar idea, I would have thought. So, you know, anyway, we shall see. But interesting report from Alex. Thanks for that. Now, let's move on to our second story, and I love this one. As we all know, WWDC recently brought out they announced the new HomePod, which is Apple's Siri speaker, effectively, and it's going to be focused on music. But Amazon, they're being a little bit mischievous this week, and I love this story, because Amazon thinks that their Echo should be able to talk to Siri and HomePod. This is the idea, at least in Amazon's perfect world, that she, who shan't be named, will be able to talk to Siri, and that this would be good for customers, according to them, of course. It would certainly be good for Amazon, because it would allow the company to continue to take the rather quick and dirty road of relying on teaching Alexa owners skills that she understands. Well, the comments come in the wake of Apple's announcement of HomePod, of course. While Apple is emphasising HomePod as the company's attempt to reinvent home music, the device is also packed with a smartphone-class Apple A8 processor. That's the same processor that's inside your phone. Apple quietly called it a home assistant that can control HomeKit devices like smart plugs and smart lights, and also serve as a conduit for Siri, so you can talk to it as well. It makes it a competitor with Amazon's version. And not just Sonos. Amazon, however, think Apple's premium pricing of HomePod of about $349 makes it a little different philosophically from Alexa, which is true. Amazon noted that if you're buying Amazon Echo Dots in 3 packs, you could probably put 8 of them in your home for the same price you would shell out for one HomePod. And the lack of an inexpensive device like the Dot makes it harder for Apple to compete with Amazon for control of your whole smartphone. In that light, they may have a good argument of what might be better for customers if she could talk to Siri. I think that's an interesting proposal. I'd love that idea.
It's an interesting proposal, but it's never, ever going to happen. I think it's just a case of Amazon trying to hijack some of the hype from WWDC. I mean, you know, Apple, it's a closed system. That will never happen. I think, but it is a reasonable thing. You know, it sort of reminds me, it's not exactly the same, but of the VHS versus Betamax, or, you know, Minidisc versus, you know. So
it is like that.
That we want all these devices to be able to hook into every service, every system, every ecosystem out there, but sadly I don't think
it's going to happen.
Check out the RNIB Facebook page, by the way. You can get a bit of a it's a great little video which shows two of our team at RNIB working through what is the differences between Amazon's Echo and the Google Home. So it's a bit of a versus going on there. Amazon Echo versus Google Home. Check it out on the RNIB Facebook page. It's really good. And, you know, again, all from our perspective. So, yeah. Third story which I saw, which is just really a bit of fun, but it did make me think, because Sean, every time there's an Apple event on, Sean buys a pizza. Although I have to tell you, I hope I'm not letting the cat out of the bag here, Sean, but that's not the only time you buy pizza.
I was going to say, yeah, it's actually every day.
Yeah, so it's like, I just, it's more a case of you just happened to continue to buy pizza on that day. Well, Apple are here to help on this one. I love this story, because if it's true, and it must be true, because it's on the internet, then, you know, this is just, this is amazing. I don't quite understand why it's happened. Let me tell you the story. Apple have patented and made a pizza box to rid your life of a soggy crust.
Oh, come on.
Perfect.
I'm not making this up. somebody else might be, but it's not me. Apple has bent its divine design to create a container that would once and for all keep your pizza from getting soggy. This is a patent that was filed back in July of 2010 and describes in convoluted legalese a circular container with holes in the top that vents air and moisture to keep grease from congealing. It's made of environmentally friendly recycled materials, of course, and boasts enough ridges and circles to look suitably futuristic, like a certain Apple mega building. Apparently, Apple Park Cafe chef Francesco Longoni had a hand in the design. And if you think that leveraging Silicon Valley's greatest minds towards fixing a food mess problem isn't worth your time, then you clearly don't know the value of a grease-free workspace. And I'm saying nothing. But it's a really, really interesting point. I think I'm guessing here, just from the fact that they reference in that article the Apple Park Cafe, Apple Park being the new big circular building that looks like it's just landed from outer space, where everything in Apple is now made and done. I think clearly that's been built. They've made that for their cafe. Because if you've ever been able to see the pictures of the Apple Park campus, it is huge. And I would imagine if you bought a pizza from the cafe, by the time you got back to your office, a day would have gone by. And it would take you some time. What I will say, though, is this is not the first time that we've seen this. Did a bit of research on this one, guys. You know, a tech food crossover, big deal to me.
Of course.
And for you, don't even go there, Priest. What about this? KFC's phone charging takeout box. That sounds amazing.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, it sounds brilliant. It's a box for your takeout of KFC, and it has a phone charger built into it. I did see this.
Come
I thought
on.
It was. I actually thought it was an April Fool when I saw it at first. But I did see one. I remember it. Not that I'm ever in there. And it's it has a tray typer. For texting with your phone with greasy fingers. So you put this little thing over your phone, you can type away merrily, but you're not actually going to damage your screen or cover it in grease. It does sound a bit crazy, doesn't it? There was also a thing for the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 movie. They actually embedded the soundtrack in a Doritos crisp bag.
Oh, okay. No. April Fool definitely
no, it's
come,
not. These
you
were,
know,
these were real.
Old.
They were real.
Ridiculous.
Brilliant
tech
idea.
Has got so cheap and disposable now.
Well, you can even throw away an MP3 player with your crisps. It's amazing. But there you go. That's the news this week. If you've got something you want to share, please do email in techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Julie's been finding out about something rather interesting this week, and we're going to hear more about it now here on Tech Talk. It's called Hook Audio, and it has some rather special features.
I've always been fascinated with anything to do with recording. So I was very interested to hear of a pair of Bluetooth headphones which have binaural mics in them, which allows you the ability to capture any audio using the app that you need to work with them called Hook Audio. H-O-O-K-E Audio, Hook First Audio. The app works with iOS or Android, is free to download, but obviously the Bluetooth headphones with the mics on them are not free. They are available now, and they work really well. They're very, very easy to use. The whole concept is very easy to use. And while there is substantial hiss on the recording, I do like the ability that it has to capture audio especially well. It really does capture sound in true image form if you listen back with headphones. Now, there isn't essentially much to the app. Once you install it, you are asked to supply an email address, an optional telephone number, and you are asked to confirm whether you own a pair of Hook Audio headphones. Once you tick that checkbox to see that you do, away you go. Then the next time you launch the app, you are free to say whether you want video image capturing. I've got it off because I'm not concerned with any image capturing really. and more concerned with the sound factor, and you allow the app to access the microphone and away you go. You can determine the recording level. I think the highest is 11. At the moment I've got this on 9. And then there is a record button. You just double tap on that and away you start speaking. The ability to record in this way means that because you're not holding a mic too close to your mouth, there isn't the tendency to pop when recording, if you know what I mean. So that things like peas or anything that seems to pop, well, that won't happen with recording in this way. It does use a lot of battery power once you use the device and your smartphone, but the recordings are extremely good, apart from a considerable amount of hiss that seems to be on the recording, but if necessary you can get rid of that with a sound editing bit of software on your PC. The device is Hook vs Audio headphones, and the app is just called Hook Audio. If you search for that on the App Store, you'll find it. So an interesting way of recording, and it really does capture sounds very well indeed. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move into a different part of the house, and I'm going into the kitchen at the moment, and you'll hear the different sound as I move into the kitchen. You'll probably hear a different sound. So that's Hook Audio, and a really novel way of recording.
And I have to tell you, if you are listening to that using stereo headphones, you will really notice what was going on. I was quite impressed, and also slightly worried, Julie, for you, because it sounded like you had a car in your living room.
No.
I had the windows open at the time I was recording. It was a really hot day, and I left that on because I wanted to hear, let you hear the true effectiveness of the recording on that, on those devices. So I deliberately left it on, and when I heard it back, it did sound as though a car was in the living room. It really did.
It's like, yeah, you know, I'll just move this out of here, love.
It was
incredible. But actually, the sound was incredible off it. I was so impressed, and when I was listening to it with my headphones on, I was thinking, this is so immersive. I was really enjoying what I was listening to, and I could almost, I could hear the clock ticking on the left-hand side. I was closing my eyes and just having a really nice time listening to your house. It was quite pleasant.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like audio in 3D. It's just incredible.
Well, I don't know if it does make sense. I'm not sure I can get my head around how it all works, but it is incredible. So what kind of cost are we looking at for these?
I think you're talking about £200, but I didn't pay that. I got mine secondhand. I was very fortunate. I got mine for £70 secondhand somewhere, but I think the £200, I think it's a new concept, it's novel, and I think the website is www.hookaudio.com, and you'll find information about them on there.
Hook with an E.
Really, really good. Hook with an E, yeah.
Hook with an E.
And
so can I just say, for anyone that doesn't know, the binaural audio aspect, so that's basically two microphones. It's like where your ears are.
Yeah.
So you have a microphone on each side, so it catches the entire, it does give you that more spatial 3D effect.
You see,
we used to do this years ago. I remember years ago I used to do stuff like this, but you actually had to put two mics in place,
exactly,
record it all together, right, and then do it that way. The good old days. But yeah, it seems to all be built in. And it was a Kickstarter project as well, which is interesting. It's obviously done well. But yeah, it just sounds amazing to me. I've never heard binaural audio before, and I know it's becoming a thing. And I do you know that kind of way? I almost wrote it off before we even started, and I was so impressed by it. So yeah, really, really good to hear that, and thank you for that, Julie. As I say, if you are listening back, check it out on the headphones, because you will notice it all going on. And yes, it does sound like Julie has a car parked in the living room.
It really does.
So yeah, that's Hook Audio. It sounds amazing. And there's so many different types of headphones out there now. I mean, everyone's talking about AirPods, which is fine, but my headphone of choice at the moment, not binaural, but just to listen to music, is the Beats X wireless headphones. And I say that because A, they're cheaper than the Apple AirPods. That's not why I got them, though, actually. I would have bought the Apple AirPods. It no, it's not. The reason I got it was because it has a physical connection between the ears. So, you know, it's a cable runs from one ear to the other, so I'm not going to lose them, which I would have done had I bought the AirPods. I love the idea of the AirPods, but, you know, for me, these Beats X ones, they are just incredible. And the Connect feature, you know, where you switch them on and automatically on whatever device you're sitting in front of, it pops up with a little box and says Connect, and that's it. Done.
Yeah.
So simple. And you've got Bluetooth options there as well if you really want to go down that route.
No, they do look nice. I think that's a major factor as well. The fact that they're connected, they're going to be harder to lose. With the AirPods, you know, one falls out of your ear, are you going to notice so much? And yeah, they're too expensive to lose.
One other little feature I saw on it, which I thought was brilliant, is it also tells you the battery status of the headphones.
Yes, it does.
On your phone.
I did forget to say that. Yes, it does.
So the Hook Audio does that as well as the other ones. That's great. That's such an important feature because, you know, you listen to your headphones and la 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 la, and suddenly it goes dead. And the biggest fear I have in life is sitting on a train listening to my country music, as I do, and the headphones cut out, and suddenly, you know,
no achy breaky heart.
Achy
anymore.
Breaky heart is
No.
Excuse me. Achy breaky heart is a great song. Oh, you mean? Oh I see.
God.
Right. Okay. But no. what I mean is that when the connection is lost, I think sometimes the phone will go into pause mode. But actually, my biggest fear is it doesn't go into pause mode, and Achy Breaky Heart is playing at full volume throughout the train with my phone in my pocket. And it's
be ashamed.
Race to get the phone out of the pocket and stop it because voiceovers go. you know, I say this because it happened once, and I thought never again. I was almost going back to Wired for life. But anyway, there you go. Right, let's move on because we've got one more feature to bring in this week. And this comes to us from Tony Costas Sneddon, who has been in touch with us on email. And he sent us this little audio package on his thoughts on an app called Tap Tap C.
Hi guys, my name is Tony Costas Sneddon. I'm going to be recording a podcast and a demonstration of how to use Tap Tap C for iPhone. It is a free application to download. You can use it to identify objects. And it basically can identify literally anything from what I've used it for anyways. The way it works is it uses your built-in camera. It's free to download, as I said. It's a brilliant and it's accessible as well. So, for example, say you wanted to identify a baked bean tin. I don't eat them personally, but some of you may do. Then you'll be able to... The app will identify it for you and maybe it might even tell you the manufacturer as well. It may take a while because I think it uses OCR results, but I'm not quite sure. But yeah, so let me show you how it works. And this is running on the iPhone 7, so hopefully you guys can hear it clearly.
Navigation folder, utilities folder, opening utilities, tap tap C. Tap tap C, repeat button.
Alright, so you're going to hear a bleep, first of all. That basically means you're focused to take a picture and whatever, basically. So, right now you've got... I'm going to go right to the top.
Repeat button. Repeat button.
Alright, so you've got a repeat button.
Repeat button. Say your last picture again.
So it basically, if you press the repeat button, it will say the last picture of what you've taken.
Library button.
You've got library.
Access photo library options.
So you can access library photo options. So basically, I'm guessing this button actually lets you upload a picture that you've already taken.
Share button.
And you've got share.
Save or share most recent image.
So it basically means you can save the image or share it to a friend or whoever you want to share it to.
About button.
You've got the about.
Tap, tap, see.
You've got the about section, which is all about the application, and you can also send feedback or contact developers, one of them.
Camera button.
And now you've got the camera.
Tap to take a picture of what's in front of you.
So it says, it's pretty explanatory, the camera buttons for basically taking a picture.
Camera button.
And that's all you've got to it. So right now I'm going to take a picture of any random thing I find. Let's take a picture of this. I have no idea what this is. So you had a bleep, it will bleep to me in focus. So I'm just going to double tap on the camera button.
Camera, picture one in progress.
And it'll say picture one in progress. It takes a while.
picture one is Royal Navy Wasp.
Royal Navy Wasp. I'm not quite sure what that is. We'll take another one.
So, picture one camera button.
For example, I'm going to take a picture of my MacBook Pro, and I'm going to see if it's actually recognizes the computer. So, this is my MacBook Pro. Very nice computer. So I'm just going to take a picture of this and see if it identifies it for me.
Camera, picture two in progress.
So I've taken a picture of the MacBook Pro. I think I have. And we'll see what it comes back with. It takes a while because I think it's using OCR or something. I don't quite know what it's using.
Picture two is close-up photo of silver MacBook.
Well, there you go. Close-up photo, and it actually identified it, a MacBook Pro. Well, there you go. That's TapTapC. If you guys want a better demonstration of it, feel free to contact me, and I'll be more than happy to do it again for you. If you have any questions, feel free to get in contact with me as well. Hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast today. Have a lovely evening, and I will catch you guys soon.
There you go. That was Tony Costa-Sneddon there, sending in his thoughts on the app TapTapC, which is just a brilliant app by the sounds of it. You know, and getting the detail as it does, you know, being able to point out that it's a MacBook rather than just saying a laptop, that's really impressive stuff.
I got to say, Tony, that was fantastic. Two things I've got to say, though. One, it feels like you're judging me because I eat baked beans. And two, is it now the norm that we all have vehicles in the background? I mean, I'm not against it. But I just need to know for when I record next. I may need to get an ambulance in or a plane in the background or something.
Yeah.
But no, look.
Yeah. I want my studio to sound like a Rolls Royce factory by the end of it. Yeah.
TapTapC,
excellent. Brilliant. Really,
excellent.
Really good.
It's an excellent app. I use it a lot. It uses a combination of artificial intelligence of image recognition and actual humans to look at it. So really good. Yeah, it's top.
So there you go. Thank you, Tony. And if you want to send in some audio, you want to record it on your phone, there's a couple of apps you can use for that. You can use the Voice Memos app on your Apple iPhone. If you've got an Android phone, you could try, and this applies to Apple as well, you could try the Just Press Record app. I have to say, that's one of my favourites at the moment. It was Julie that kind of pushed me to use it. I had heard of it before, but I hadn't really got into it as much. But it is a really good app. And there are others out there, Julie.
There are. There's Simple Mic, which is a really nice one. There is, you know, there's at least seven or eight I've got on my recorder.
You've gone blank now.
Yeah, I know.
Last time. Yeah,
there's Voice Memos, Pocket Recorder, there is iRecorder. There's a lot of choice out there.
So many apps out there, and that is great. If you want to send in some audio, please do. You can email it to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You could be on this program next week. That is it for us this week. Thank you for your time, as always, and thank you for listening. Remember, of course, you can check out the podcast on Audioboom for all the latest, and get it on iTunes as well. Julie, Sean, great to have your company, as always. See you again next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.